Megan, I have been using our sponsor Element, that's L-M-N-T, to boost my hydration for over a month now, and I'm really loving it. I'm just not very good at drinking plain water, and I love the taste when I pop one of these little packets, I like orange or grapefruit, into a big bottle of water. It's kind of fruity and salty, and it just helps me hydrate better overall.
Element is a zero-sugar electrolyte drink mix born from the growing body of research that shows the best health outcomes occur with higher sodium levels. Each little pack delivers a significant dose of electrolytes, but minus sugar, artificial colors, and other iffy ingredients. Element's flavors are so unique, like fruity watermelon salt and spicy sweet mango chili. And we're going to set our listeners up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite.
Right. You can receive a free Element sample pack containing 8 flavors with any drink mix purchase when you purchase through our custom link, drinkelement.com/momhour. That's DRINKELMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership and is available for both new and returning customers. And if you're an Element insider, you'll have first access to Element Sparkling, a bold can of sparkling electrolyte water. Again, it's drinklmnt.com/momhour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers.
And I'm Megan Francis, and we're excited to bring you a bonus conversation today. It's part of a special series we're doing this month.
Yeah, so earlier this week on Tuesday, we republished a classic episode from way back in our early archives. And today we're featuring two moms from our contributor team adding their fresh take on the same topic.
Right. So you might want to listen to Tuesday's episode before you dive into this one. All right, Sarah, this is the part where you and I get out of the way and let the team do their thing, right?
That's right. Off we go. Enjoy, everyone.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
All right. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I'm Kia, and I'm here with Emily Rorick. Am I saying your name right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking.
Okay. They can edit that part out. I meant to ask you that before we started. Okay. We're excited to bring you a bonus episode conversation today with our thoughts on the episode that aired earlier this week that was called Coping with Sleep Deprivation. So if you haven't already listened to that episode, it's a classic from the Mom Hour archives, and we really recommend checking that out before you listen to this episode where we just kind of share our thoughts about it all. Emily, do you want to remind everyone like where you live and some details about your family?
Sure. I live in a suburb of Indianapolis, Indiana, and I have 3 kids, ages 7, 5, and 3.
All right. And like I said, I'm Kia. I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I have 4 kids. They are 14, 5, 3, and the baby's almost 18 months old. All right. So I know we had a lot of thoughts about this episode when we listened. I think I listened to it like 3 times because I just loved it so much. Especially because I feel like I've been like chronically sleep deprived the last like 5 years.
Yeah, I get that.
So Emily, let me ask you, did you sleep through the night last night?
I did not sleep through the night last night, but it's not my kid's fault. I was up to go to the bathroom around midnight and then I had trouble falling back asleep. But sometimes with older kids, they're still up in the middle of the night. You just never know.
I know. I did not sleep well last night, but I had Elsie in my bed because we co-sleep. And she does not understand that, like, my pillow is my pillow and she's supposed to use her own. And then Brayden actually came in my room last night, which doesn't always happen, but he did. So I just like to embrace him a little bit instead of, like, making him scared to, like, go right back to his room. So that was interesting. Was sleep deprivation worse for you, would you say, in, like, pregnancy or postpartum, or, like, the early postpartum days?
So for me, it was worse during pregnancy. I had pregnancy insomnia with all of my pregnancies. Starting out in the first trimester. So I just never slept very well. And then, of course, at the end, I had a big pregnancy pillow, but still very uncomfortable. So I always liked knowing that even though I would be up a lot at night, once I fed the baby and changed the baby, I would fall right back to sleep.
Yeah, same. I think pregnancy was worse than postpartum for me. I remember like Googling every pregnancy, like, is this a thing to not sleep well in the first trimester?
I know.
Because I felt like I had the insomnia too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You kind of feel like, is something wrong with me? And then, you know, good old Google. I also had the pregnancy pillow with like my second pregnancy, I want to say. I think it's just like one of those things you like feel like you have to buy, but yeah. I didn't really love it.
Oh, you didn't? That's interesting.
I didn't love it. And then my last pregnancy, I remember my hip and pelvic pain was really bad. And I had like this special knee pillow. And then I had like a wedge pillow behind me. I had like all the things.
I had the wedge pillow too. It's funny. You just have to.
Yeah. It's helpful.
It is helpful.
All right. So in this episode, Megan and Sarah were talking about like self-care for you when you're like so sleep deprived of like even like the little things like eating well. So when you're sleep deprived, Emily, like how well do you think you eat?
So when I'm overtired, I end up mindlessly snacking way more than when I'm well rested. So I wouldn't say that I eat as well. I guess I also just don't have the energy to cook as much as if I'm not as tired. And I like to cook, but it's hard when you're tired. And especially the 5 o'clock hour is when I'm just feeling done because my kids wake up pretty early, like the 6 o'clock hour. So we've been going for a long time. And then if I'm sleep deprived, it's just worse.
Yes, I feel that. By that time of the day, you're like, oh, I'm done. Yes. Yeah, same. I feel like I snack a lot. Or like if I know that I'm going to have like a crazy week coming up, I might like try to meal prep some like healthy snacks or like dinner or like try to grocery shop like really healthily so that I grab like blueberries instead of chips for a snack or something like that.
That's smart.
But otherwise, sometimes I feel like I'm like nauseous when I'm tired. Like I don't even really want to eat. So then I might like not even really feed myself. It's just, it can be like a negative cycle.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And then we don't eat if you're more nauseous and then, yeah.
You're like not giving your body that fuel to like continue right. on.
Yeah, it is hard. And especially if you're newly postpartum, I always loved when people brought us food. That was like my favorite postpartum gift because then I didn't have to think about it because otherwise we would just go get takeout or eat, you know, really quick things at home.
Yeah, I remember one of my babies, my sister brought me over like a baked oatmeal and a shepherd's pie. And other than that, I haven't really had like experiences where people like bring us food, but we always live next to like a pizza spot. Mm-hmm. So like, I just felt like we ate out a lot in the early postpartum days. Yeah. I also try to like stay on top of my supplements. So like if I'm really tired, I can get migraines. Like my migraines are triggered by like my body being really tired or really stressed. So I try to like always stay on top of those, but then I can't eat them on an empty stomach or like take them on an empty stomach. So it's just like a whole weird thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I can't either. It hurts my stomach if I do that.
They also talked about like staying physically active, like going for walks, which I really try to do. Like my kids love to take walks. So even if we like lap the block a few times, that feels pretty good to me to get outside in the sun, even if I absolutely do not want to. I also have a Peloton, which I go through spurts on.
I have one too, and I'm the same and then, way.
Yeah. And then sometimes I'm just like, let me just like do some yoga poses and like move my body lightly and slowly. And that usually like ends up making me feel pretty good. Like I even did that yesterday before work and I do see like a difference in like my mood.
Yeah, I'm the same. So if I'm not getting enough sleep and I do like a high intensity workout, I feel like I will end up getting sick, especially if it's winter and my kids are, well, winter and spring. I feel like the kids have been sick so much this year. It doesn't matter what season it is. So yes, walking is good for me, especially if it's, we have a treadmill, but I would rather be outside at this time of year if it's not too hot, and Pilates and bar workouts and kind of lower impact seems to help.
Yeah. Because if I get too ambitious, I'm like, let's do a full on like weighted workout with like, you know, dumbbells. And then the next day I'm tired and I'm sore. I'm like, oh, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, it's too much.
So then one other thing I was thinking about too, as far as like self-care is like the things that make like me feel comfy and like a little bit more spoiled by myself when I'm sleep deprived is like having really nice pajamas to put on. I have like this really nice robe that I wear. I like to go to sleep with like a heating pad. Like I have one of those huge heating pads that you like plug in next to your bed. Mm-hmm. So I love to sleep on that. I always try to be really like conscious about doing my self-care skin routine at night before bed. And I do use the Calm app sometimes. And I know my husband really likes when I put that on too. And then having something in the morning to look forward to. So like I get excited at night that I'm going to drink my coffee in the morning. Or if like I make my favorite breakfast burrito, I'm like, yes, I get to eat my favorite burrito in the morning, or like my chia seed pudding. So like those little things, I think, put like a little pep in my step when I'm feeling tired. How about you?
Yeah, we're very similar because I could say the same thing about myself. I feel like my pajama drawer is fuller than my regular clothes, especially just in like just since the pandemic. I think I started and I know we both had babies during the pandemic. And so we were home a lot. So, yeah, I love comfy clothes, a robe. I also like to start my bedtime routine early. So when I'm getting my kids ready for bed, like around 7:30, 8 o'clock, I will also get myself ready for bed because I don't want to fall asleep without washing my face and brushing my teeth. And I mean, it's not like this in all seasons, but just when I am extra tired, that is helpful. And I like to have something to look forward to in the morning, too. I only drink decaf coffee because coffee makes me jittery, but I still like to look forward to that ritual.
Having like a good creamer for your coffee. Yeah. Yeah. And when like I would have like in the fresh newborn period, postpartum period, I always took a shower at night right after we put all the other kids to bed. And my husband, I'd like nurse the baby. My husband would take the baby and I would do like my shower at night because like the mornings are way too hectic. And he was usually at work in the mornings. And so I really liked how that worked because I have to shower to like daily to feel like a human. Mm-hmm. And it just worked out really well in the early postpartum period to do it at night after I put the kids to bed.
I still do that. So I started that too after that, years ago, I guess, after having my first. And it's so much easier, especially during the school year when the kids are getting up early. It's nice for me to already have that over with.
And I know you and I talked a lot about before, like just in like our personal friendship about how we so bad want to be the mom that like wakes up before our kids and does stuff for us. For ourselves, but I just can't right now.
And it's funny because my youngest is 3. You had one after I had our 3-year-olds, but yeah, I still don't feel like I can do it.
No, I'm not there, but one day, right?
One day. Maybe.
Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's 3, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code momhour50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest. I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day, and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have 2 pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather, but please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown Loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like 4 times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
And so they also talked about in the episode, Megan and Sarah, about sharing duties and like shifts with our husbands and just kind of like being on the same page. How did that go with your husband? Like, I'm thinking especially in the newborn days.
So in the newborn days, we didn't really split shifts. I've heard of families doing like, Sarah talked about this, like her husband would take a 3-hour shift and then she would do the rest of the night. We never really did that. We used bottles mostly. So my husband was able to help, but he went back to work so quickly after I had my kids that I always felt bad making him get up at night. So usually I would get up during the week and then he would get up on the weekends. And then he would let me sleep in. And now that our kids are older and they still have wake ups, whether it's for nightmares or bedwetting or whatever, he's usually the one that handles it now because he just doesn't require as much sleep as I do. And I'm a lot moodier than he is. So I know if he gets up, he'll be fine in the morning, whereas I will not be the nicest person.
Emily, that is literally me. My husband will get like 5 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, and be still the nicest, most patient human on the planet. And I'm like, no, I cannot do this today. I need my sleep. Even like an extra 30 minutes that he'll give me makes like a big difference. But I'm just thinking like in the newborn days, my husband always got up with me. Like if I was nursing a baby, he would get up and like help with the boppy or like get me water and like just kind of stay up with me during the feeding. I also had 2 formula fed babies too. And so he would like take shifts with them and feed them. He actually really loved that for like our first child together in 2017. He really liked making her bottles and feeding her at night. And so with our last 2 babies that were exclusively breastfed, he like talks about missing that like nighttime specialness with them. So he doesn't mind like getting up and doing diapers and stuff. But like now, as the kids are older, he's the one that gets up too. Like my 5-year-old might come in sometimes and say she had a bad dream and wants one of us to lay with her. And my husband Taj is like, yep, I'll go and lay with her. And sometimes he'll like even fall asleep in there.
That's so nice of him. Yeah, you reminded me. My husband used to get up and make the bottles. I forgot that he did that. He would go get the bottles and then he would come back and go to sleep. And then I would feed the baby. So it was helpful.
And I remember my mom used to always say my dad got up too. And like, he was one that would get up with the babies and there were 6 of us. And I always just kind of thought that I wanted a husband that would get up and help with babies. Like that just like, he set the standard.
Yes, that's so nice. My mom said the same thing about my dad. My mom and dad would do the same thing. Like she'd take the week and he'd take the weekend and it all works out.
Yes. All right. So Megan and Sarah had a lot to say about like screens at night when you're up with the baby or breastfeeding or pumping or all the things. So what did that look like for you? Like, did you use your phone? Was it more of a distraction? Did it like not help you be able to go back to sleep right away? What did that look like for you?
So in the early days, I did pump for like a month with 2 of my kids. And I never wanted to disrupt anyone else in the house. So I would go out into the living room and pump out there. And to keep myself awake, I would turn the TV on. So my pumping show was New Girl. So I would turn it on and watch that for 20 minutes or whatever. I don't think it was that helpful because I do think it just made me more awake and then it took me longer to fall back asleep. Once I was done pumping, I didn't do that anymore. But no, I didn't really use my phone. I feel like the blue light from my phone bothers me a lot more than the light from the TV for some reason. And even now, when I'm going to bed, I like to fall asleep with the TV on and it won't bother me. But if I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't fall back asleep, I will look at my phone mindlessly and I know I should not because then I'm even wider awake. Does it affect you?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting you say you can fall asleep with the TV on because I could not fall asleep with the TV on. My husband could. I'm just not like a big TV watcher. So like, I don't like having a TV in our bedroom because I don't ever really watch it, but like my husband does, and I could never fall asleep with it on. But I would like you go to the living room to like feed a baby, or like if I was pumping, like I exclusively pumped for some time, and I would always go to the living room and I would turn the TV on. And just to kind of like help me relax, because I hated pumping, to like take my mind off it, like forget that I was pumping.
Yes.
I don't think I would scroll too much. I know I like my Kindle, and I went through a big like kick where I would like finish audiobooks during the night and listen to podcasts. I also binge watched Call the Midwife for my last three babies. So that was like always a treat when I would like get up in the middle of the night to go pump or feed baby. And I would watch that over and over again. It's like my favorite show ever. And so that was always nice.
I like it too. But it's funny you say that. I could not watch it when I was pregnant or postpartum because, well, at least the earlier seasons, there's kind of a lot of traumatic things that happen. And maybe because you're a nurse, you see that in real life anyway. But for me, it was hard for me to watch.
I think that's what it is that, especially being a postpartum nurse, like knowing all the things, I just love all everything baby and birth world. Yeah. And my kids would watch it too. Like if I was even up during the day and if it would be on, and they would like see the births and ask questions, and it's like, yep, that's how this little babe came.
That's cute. It is kind of a comforting show. The theme song is comforting to me.
Yes. And the nuns in that show, I just love them. I love that cast.
Okay, so in this episode, Megan makes a comment saying, "Nothing on Instagram gets me fired up and mad. It's just pretty pictures." And this podcast episode was recorded in 2017 for reference. And I just thought this was so funny hearing that comment because it's not like that at all anymore. And I had my second baby in 2017. And I would agree with her at that time. I could get on Instagram and just see people's family vacations and back to school pictures and things like that. And then I had my last baby in 2020 and it was completely different. I feel like, when Instagram added the story feature, people started posting a lot more political, opinionated, bad news stories. And especially during the pandemic and just the election and, you know, all of the things. So when I was scrolling that year, I would just have to put my phone in another room so I wasn't tempted to look at what was happening in the world because it was just so hard anyway.
Yes, I was cracking up laughing when Megan said that in the episode because I was like, oh my, how things have changed. And just like you said, I had my second baby in 2017 too. And I don't think I really scrolled that much. Like at night, I don't think I reached for my phone that much. But if I did, like, it would be a calming pictures, probably, like, happy pictures. And then we both had our 2020 babies, and you would be triggered if you got online in the terrible middle of the night. Yes, between, like, pandemic things, election things, and just everything in between, there's no way if you wanted to go back to sleep peacefully that you should probably get on Instagram around that time. No.
Do you think it's getting better?
Even now, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think it's getting better? I feel like people are talking about wanting to go back to the old Instagram, but I don't know if we can ever go back to the old Instagram.
I don't think, like, you mean like more pictures instead of videos and such? I don't think we'll ever go back. I think sometimes people just like go along with the trends of like what brings people to your page more. Right. But sometimes if I want to scroll Instagram, I'll go to like my favorite page that like I want to see. Like I love to look at recipes in the middle of the night if I'm up and I'm like, oh, I'm going to make this week. But I can't just like scroll and look at anything because that will make me, it will get me fired up.
I'm the same way. Anything, the news really triggers me like in pregnancy and postpartum or when I'm really tired because my mind just goes to worst case scenario. So Instagram's not the happy place it used to be in 2017.
All right. So, Emily, tell me about your bedtime.
Okay. So I mentioned it before. I typically get ready for bed pretty early when my kids are getting ready for bed. And then now that we're on summer break now, and so we don't have after school activities, so I can go to bed early-ish if I want to. So that's what I've been doing lately. So I'll go get in bed around 8 o'clock. And I know it's early. And then
I love that.
I am kind of weird. I like falling asleep when it's still light outside. I don't like, I know my family thinks it's kind of weird, but in the winter, I don't like winter. Like I'm prone to seasonal depression. I just don't like the darkness. Mm-hmm. So I love when the days start getting longer. And in Indiana where I live, it doesn't really get dark until 10 o'clock at night. So I mean, I could be going to bed at 9:30 and it's still light outside, but it's comforting to me to still be light outside. Like, aww. I just feel happier when it's light outside. So I don't go, I don't fall right to sleep. Like I said, I'll watch a show. My husband doesn't always go to bed at the same time because he's, you know, he wants to work out or like do some more work or whatever, but we'll usually eventually watch a show together and then that's how I fall asleep. But I definitely have had seasons where I want more time to myself, so I stay up until 11 o'clock, you know, just get any alone time, especially when we have activities going on after school. What about you?
Yeah, my kids' bedtime, like in the winter, is 7:30. But like now, my three-year-old would be like, "Well, Mom, it's not dark outside."
I know, that is one hard thing.
Sometimes it's literally like 8:30 where I can convince them to like, come on, guys, let's at least be in our beds in the room. But as far as me, my bedtime's like all over the place, especially because I work second shift. So sometimes I work 3 to 11. Sometimes I work 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. So like then I won't go to bed till 4. My kids wake up at 6.
I don't know how you do that.
So it just, I wish. And then mind you, I just went back to work. Like almost 4 months ago. So when I was a stay-at-home mom for that 2.5 years, it would just depend. Like sometimes my sleep was good, sometimes it wasn't. Like I said, I'm still nursing Elsie and she is a co-sleeper, like in our actual bed. So it just depends. Sometimes she would be good, sometimes not. We just started, I want to say like 2 months ago, telling her like, you don't get milk at night. Like even if she's in our bed, like milky is not night. So that helped a little bit. What time do your kids go to bed then? If you go up around 8, and like, what's their bedroom situation? Like, is it close to you guys? Do they wake up at night much? Like Sarah talked about having a croupy kid or like a kid with coughs. Mm-hmm. And like kids have bad dreams and such and things like that. How's that look for you?
So our kids typically go to bed around... Okay, we like to start bedtime around 7:30. Like you said, it really depends. On days where they've been playing outside a lot, they'll be asleep by 8. But like, especially during the school year, like after school activities, it's maybe 8:30. Mm-hmm. Still pretty early though. And we have a 1960s ranch house. So all of our bedrooms are on one side of the house, really close together. So from my bedroom, if I'm laying in bed and the doors are open, I can see my three-year-old's crib. So I can hear everything.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It has pros and cons, I'll say. We still...
Yes.
We close our doors at nighttime, so I still sleep at the monitor by my bed for her, even though she's three. She'd probably be fine, but she's in a crib, so she needs to get out. I need to hear her. And my kids don't wake up a ton anymore, but... I can relate to Sarah because my middle child is prone to the croupy coughs since he was 3 months old. He's had this, I don't know, he just has a smaller airway, I guess, and it really affects him when he gets sick. So anytime I hear a cough or a sniffle or anything in the middle of the night, it definitely triggers me and I want to go check them and make sure they're okay. And then we do have kids getting up sometimes with bed dreams. And then, like I mentioned, the bedwetting, I don't think people talk about that because I obviously don't want to embarrass my kids, but that's a thing. Mm-hmm. So all of my kids are potty trained, but the nighttime training takes longer. So sometimes we're up with that. Yeah. But it's definitely getting easier.
Yeah.
Okay, Megan. Well, over here at the Mom Hour, we are big fans of our sponsor, Our Place. In fact, you, me, and our team member, Katie, were all comparing notes on our favorite product. Katie was telling us that even though she's packing up to move her family to a new house, she cannot put that mini perfect pot from Our Place into the boxes yet because she's using it like every night.
Well, as someone who also has a perfect pot, I got mine as part of their mini home cook duo set. I get it. It's nonstick, which is key, but it also has all these handy features like a steam release lid with a built-in strainer and this nice beechwood spoon that nests on the handle in this perfect little peg.
Okay, well, I didn't get this pot, but now I want it. That sounds so great. Our Place's cookware is great to cook with, beautiful to look at, and healthier for us as well. All of Our Place's products are made without PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. In addition to their cookware and tableware, Our Place is also making waves with their Wonder Oven, the most stylish all-in-one air fryer and toaster oven. Again, free from the forever chemicals found in many of those air fryers.
Listeners, Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns, and we've got a great deal for you. Go to fromourplace.com and enter the code MOMHOUR at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's fromourplace.com, code MOMHOUR. Sarah, our sponsor Hiya Health makes a kid's daily multivitamin that parents can feel great about giving their kids because they have no added sugars or dyes. And our kids who have tried Hiya vitamins have loved them, which is important, right? Because what good is a bottle of vitamins that your kid won't take?
Hiya was founded by two dads who didn't like the ingredients label on some of the popular children's vitamins they were seeing on store shelves, so they got to work developing a formula that would help fill the most common nutrient gaps in modern kids' diets. Hiya's chewable kids' vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Hiya manufactures their vitamins right here in the USA with globally sourced ingredients, and then they ship their chewable vitamins directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
I'm curious. We've never co-slept. Not in the same bed, at least. So put Elsie down first and then come back to bed later? Or do you all go to bed at the same time?
It depends what season Elsie is in. So like before, like when they're newborns, up until like 4 months, I want to say, we're co-sleeping as in her crib is in my room. Okay. And so she sleeps in her crib only, for the most part. And then she'll like transition to my bed. And this has only been my last two babies that have been exclusively breastfed, just because it's just easier for me that way to have them in bed, you know, have all access. Now that she's a little older, I cannot put her in her crib to go to bed first. My husband can. So if Taj leaves her in the crib and says it's time for bed, and right after we put the other kids to bed, or like the same time, she'll go to sleep, but then eventually wake up and come in our bed. She will not lay down for me in her crib for the life of me.
That's hard.
It is hard. But we are getting ready to move actually next week. And right now, our bedroom situation is the same as yours. Like, we're all in this one little tiny hallway. I could see in all of their rooms from our bedroom. And then we're moving next weekend, and all of the three little kids are in the attic, the third floor. And their hallway is right outside my bedroom. So I would have to go up steps to their bedroom. So obviously I have a baby monitor. I will have a baby monitor in there, but Elsie's getting kicked out of our room. So I know that at one point here, maybe in a couple weeks, months, I will be sleeping well again. But I know it's going to get like worse before it gets better, as far as like adjusting her to being in the bedroom. Now, the three youngest will share a bedroom because there's two bedrooms up there. But the way we have it, we think Aspen and Brayden, the 5 and 3 year old, share a bedroom right now. And they really like that. So I think just putting them all in there together, Elsie, the baby, really loves to like be in there with them. So I think that it will go smoothly. And she's still in a crib. Hopefully that lasts a little bit longer because she's only 18 months. I love that your 3 year old is still in a crib.
She is. I know, my mom was just asking.
Yes, I love that.
My mom was just asking me when I plan to move her out, but it is getting, she's potty trained, so sometimes she'll want to get out to go to the bathroom before bed, and that would be nice to have her get out and go by herself, but at the same time, I like that she is contained still. But our situation is similar. My oldest two share a room, and then Hazel has her own room, but they love being in the same room together, and if I suggest maybe one of them sleeping alone because they're sick or something, they won't do it. So I think our kids will be fine.
Oh, yeah. I'm hopeful, but I, like I said, I'm sure she's going to put up like a fight, which is, it's just fine. I'm ready for it. How about the whole sleep when the baby sleeps and taking naps? How did that work for you?
Okay. So in the early days when I had my oldest, I had postpartum anxiety. And so taking a nap was not appealing to me because I wanted to watch her sleep, which we have, you and okay. I were on an episode together talking about that. And, you know, I had to get help for that. And so I recognize mm-hmm. that's not totally normal, but I think it is for a first time mom. I think that's kind of common to want to stay awake and make sure your baby's doing what they're supposed to be doing. But as time went on with my other kids, well, once you have a second and a third child, you have other kids to take care of. So napping was really easy. But now that my kids are getting older and then in school and then my 3-year-old still naps, I will take a nap if I can during the day, especially in the summer. It's just exhausting being in the heat and being physically exhausted. And I know it's a privilege because I'm a stay-at-home mom and I can do that. So, nap time, like if I take a nap, it doesn't really affect my bedtime.
Okay.
Does it for you?
So I don't like to nap if like I'm just going to nap. Like if I get Elsie down for a nap by herself, I'm like, I'm going to sneak out and go do mm-hmm. something. And sometimes it might be like, I love to mop when the kids nap because then I don't have little feet on the floor, or like read a book or like do something, some type of work that I have to get done. Or sometimes I might even like sneak in an episode of my favorite show. But other than that, I really only like to nap if I have to nap with my kids. So like sometimes if before I work a 12-hour shift, around noon, I might have Brayden and Elsie come in my bed and we'll take a little snooze together. It can't be too long because I'm one of those people that get grumpy after a long nap. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I know what you mean about the watching your baby sleep kind of thing. And we did talk about that on the postpartum like mood disorder episode. We can link that in the show notes. You and I talked about that, the anxiety we have of watching our baby sleep. And I specifically had that with my second baby, I remember. And yeah, it was really bad anxiety and I needed help with that too. I'm glad he brought that up because I'm sure a lot of moms go through that.
I think so. And I think that being sleep deprived makes it worse, for me at least. Even now, if I'm not getting enough sleep and my kids have been sick, my mind, like I talked about it, my mind will just race. Yeah. And then I'm up in the middle of the night thinking, you know, irrational thoughts.
Yeah. I think as a nurse, it doesn't help me when my kids are sick because I go completely negative mm-hmm. where I'm like, I know all the things that could happen. And so my knowledge does not bring me comfort. It brings me so much more stress if they're sick and I'm, an anxious mess. I'm not a good sick mom kid.
I'm not either. Good thing we have a lot of kids.
Yes. all right. So Megan and Sarah also talked about like calling in professionals. So like sleep coaches and things like that. Have you done any of that?
So I just mentioned my oldest had trouble sleeping around 2. She was a really good newborn sleeper. I remember my pediatrician saying, don't tell anyone this because, you know, they won't like you if you tell them.
Yes.
But around 8 months, I guess when she started teething, she just had frequent wake-ups. We ended up bringing her back into our room to sleep to see if that would help. It didn't really help. And then I had my second when she, a little bit before she turned 2, I'm sure that didn't help her sleep because she probably heard him crying because our bedrooms are close together. Mm-hmm. So I was just so desperate for her to sleep. I ordered this HypnoBabies sleep track. I used HypnoBabies for childbirth, which basically just kind of teaches you to calm your mind and mm-hmm. well, like it says, like hypnotize you a little bit. So they have these toddler ones and it's like a story. You put it on before they go to sleep and it's supposed to calm their mind. And it did nothing. It did nothing for her, but but we paid money for it. You know, we have like the room darkening shades, the sound machine. We never used an expert. Oh, we did take her to the chiropractor to see if that would help. And eventually it was just something she had to outgrow.
Yeah. You definitely tried like all the things.
Yes. I was desperate. Have you ever used anyone?
So I was just thinking we always use a sound machine for all of my kids. And when we move Elsie out of our room next week, I'm like not going to be able to sleep without a sound machine. I might have to keep that sound machine for myself.
So what you have to do is you have to turn your monitor on high, because that's what I do. So I can listen to the sound machine.
That's a good idea. Yes, you're right. You're right. That is a thing. All right. So as far as the professionals, I know Megan talked about being like anxious about like bad things happening like during a certain stage in her life when she was sleep deprived. And that's how I get. So like my husband used to work swing shift. And like he just did a month of night shifts, and that makes me so anxious. Like I will convince myself that someone's actually breaking in, which is so scary when I like, because I'm like planning, how am I going to get all my kids safe? And they're all in these different bedrooms, and I can just like really psych myself out.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. So it got really bad after my pandemic baby. So like during the pandemic with all the other stress. But like I had a therapist then after he was born around 7 months postpartum, and that did really help. I did see that you said you have a Ring doorbell, which helps you. And I do have one of those now. So it does help.
It does help. Sometimes my husband travels for work. Not frequently. I really feel for people whose husbands are gone, either work a night shift or they travel all the time, because I don't think I could function. I have such a, or I guess I would get used to it. But when my husband's out of town, I will stay up until, that's like an exception. I'll stay up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, just think, you know. My mind will not quiet. And it's funny that the Ring doorbell comforts me, because I'm like, okay, well, if somebody comes to the door, at least I would know. But what that did happen one time, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and the Ring doorbell went off, and it was a cat. So it wasn't a person, but then I'm like, oh yeah, this is a little scary too.
Or you get the neighborhood Ring notifications that like somebody was in their yard or their car. And I'm like, Oh, are they coming for me next? Yeah.
I know. There's really no great solution, but it is, that's a good reminder that we can get help for ourselves too, because I never really think about that.
I just want to say too, and this is what I tell myself, because my first and second babies are 8 years apart. So my oldest was 8 when I had my second baby. So like, that was like, I had like an independent child for the most part. So like, I know that sleep will come to me soon. Like this whole like sleep deprivation season of life is short, but the days are long when you're like really in it. So I'm just saying that for like hope for anyone else, like your kid really will sleep. When I was pregnant with Elsie, Brayden, like you said, when you were pregnant and your toddler was not sleeping through the night, I remember feeling like I was going to actually lose my mind. Like, how am I ever going to sleep if I'm about to have a newborn? My toddler's still waking up at night crying, and it just feels like it's never going to get better. And I tell people all the time, like, Brayden, once he hit 2, he slept amazingly. Like, yep, I'm ready for bed, and yep, I'm ready for naps. And so Elsie's 18 months, and so she'll be there soon. Yeah. That's what I tell myself to make it all better. Yeah.
So do your older kids wake up at night at all?
Aspen will sometimes come in, like if she's had a bad dream. I remember one time, I will never forget it. I just opened my eyes and she was standing in front of me in the pitch black dark. And I screamed like there was an actual monster or intruder in my house. I screamed.
That's so terrifying.
Yes. So sometimes she'll wake up and come in, and sometimes she'll wake up Taj, and he'll go lay with her, like I said earlier. Yeah.
But your teenager is self-sufficient now.
My teenager, yeah. And she's the same way sometimes. She'll come in and tell Taj, like, hey, I had a bad dream. And he'll come lay with her, too.
That's nice.
I know. He's the one that they go to.
Well, that's good for you.
Mom's a little grumpy at night. All right, Emily. I'm so glad I got to talk to you about this, because our kids are so similar, like, in ages. And we have so many similarities with our families.
No, it was nice to talk to you, too.
Yes. Listeners, thank you so much for listening. This series will continue throughout the whole month of July. And so listen for more episodes just like this with different team members. And then Megan and Sarah will be back with new episodes in August. So thanks for listening, and we will talk soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And a big thanks to the moms on our team who stepped up to the mic today. If you'd like to learn more about our contributor team, visit themomhour.com/contributors and check this episode's show description for links to follow today's co-hosts over on their socials.
And Sarah, you and I will be back with brand new episodes of The Mom Hour starting Tuesday, August 1st. We'll talk to everybody then.
Guess what, Megan? Over 10,000 teens are already using our sponsor, Erica, to help them unplug.
That is amazing. Erica, that's Erica with a K, is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug whenever they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance. It's so cool how this works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Yeah, you know, teens really get that social media comes with risks, including addiction, and Erica helps them build healthy habits and self-regulation that will benefit them their whole lives. Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica Family Plan with promo code THEMOMHOUR. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code THEMOMHOUR to save 20%.
Hi, everyone. Megan here. Sarah and I would absolutely love it if you would hit pause right now, like right where you're listening, and leave the Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, this is one of the biggest ways you can thank us, and it really only takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening to Apple Podcasts, you can navigate to the Mom Hour's show listing. So when you're in the episode you're listening to right now, click where it says the Mom Hour just above the play button, and then scroll all the way to the bottom and you will see the ratings and reviews. We would love if you would leave us one as well. Thank you so much for listening.